introduce that here to ESPN 700, and we kick off, lead off the fast break with the Memphis Grizzlies radio play-by-play voice, Eric Hasseltine. Eric, thanks so much for taking a few minutes to join us here on NBA Wire Fast Break on ESPN 700.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So game two tonight, obviously all these games are crucial, especially if you're in the grindhouse and you're trying to make sure you hold home court advantage. A couple of things have jumped out at me. Mike Conley playing really well, coming off a foot injury. Can you update his situation and just tell us what he's meant to this team, really performing maybe beyond what even his teammates thought he could do?
Well, he had injured his foot in a game against the Pelicans, and nobody even really knew what happened. He just said he felt something kind of stretch and maybe even pop in his right arch just before the plantar fascia. So we were thankful it wasn't the plantar fascia ligament, because that can be a 6 to 8 week injury, and Mike would still be in street clothes, and that wouldn't be too good for us because he's the guy that kind of drives our offense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a guy that gets Marc Gasol to play aggressive, because he sets him up with good looks, and he gets the ball to Zach Randolph in the position he wants with him. And, you know, you guys know in this league, continuity breeds success, and these guys have all played together now going on 6-7 years, especially with Mike and Mark. So he's not 100%. He said for a while when the injury first occurred, it felt like walking on a golf ball, and then he said it's kind of like walking on a gumball now. So he's going to say the pain's tolerable. He's a tough kid, and he wants to be out there, and he's not really a kid anymore. He's really developed into a big-time player, and in game one, he was able to get into the lane and penetrate. And although there was a little bit of rust and he missed some shots he normally makes, the defense had to stay honest, and that left more isolation plays for Mark and Zach to go one-on-one, which is it's going to play to the Grizzlies' advantage when that happens.
No doubt. Conley, an 8-year veteran, missed the last 4 games of the regular season, and then all of a sudden you turn around and you may be at home, but you're going up and down with Damian Lillard. And clearly, Conley won that matchup. Lillard struggling through 5 for 21 in game 1, 0 for 6 from 3. And while you don't figure you'll see that again, can you speak to what maybe the Grizzlies have done to Lillard and the Blazers defensively? Because night in and night out, there is no team that comes at you harder than the Grizzlies. And therefore, you know, when they're at home, it is the grindhouse, because they're going to grind you into the ground.
Well, the Jazz certainly came at us pretty hard defensively in that second half of the season, so I'll tip my cap to them because they kind of adapted to that too. But what they've done very well, truthfully, is getting around screens, and getting Tony Allen back was huge for that. He's one of the best in the league to getting through high picks to get guys either, you know, open jumpers or they can turn the corner and go. And Tony's just got a knack for getting around those screens and getting into a guy's into his lane, whether it's a shooting lane or a driving lane, and they did a good job of that. I thought, you know, Lillard missed a few shots. He said at yesterday's practice a couple went in and out, and he expects those to go down. But you could tell they started pressing when Beno Udrih came in and hit 5 shots in a row, and the lead all of a sudden ballooned to 10 points for the Grizzlies. You could see the Blazers kind of start pressing without Wes Matthews. It's left up to Lillard and Aldridge, because Aaron Aflalo was out as well. And Lillard's had his struggles against the Grizzlies all year. The one game he had that was very good, the Grizzlies were up big, and LaMarcus Aldridge went out. And it was just Damian Lillard, so he had to do it, but he still made the shots. They're going to go through those two guys. But the way the Grizzlies collapse in the middle and rotate on the perimeter, it's very difficult to get a clean look. And if you don't take the first one you see, you may not get another one, and then you're forced into a low shot clock situation. So I think the physicality of the game kind of caught the Blazers off guard a little bit, which is surprising because they're a playoff-tested team. But I thought the Grizzlies did a great job in their opening possessions, trying to drive to the basket, almost challenging the referee crew to when they were going to blow the whistle. So they figured out how much contact they were going to absorb, so they realized how much they could dish out on the defensive end. And it played to their favor because they played very physical. And I give the refs credit. They called it, you know, consistently the whole game. And there's always going to be times when players gripe. But if you allow the Grizzlies to play physical like that, that's why people said this team was built for the playoffs, because they can really just take you out of your rhythm and take you out of your game offensively. And then when it's hard to score on them, they start getting stops and steals, and you throw the ball away, they're going to get out into transition situation in early offense, and they're going to be better offensively than people think.
Yeah, there's no doubt, and I think it gets in, you know, into your brain, it gets into your morale. If you're the Blazers, you know every possession they're going to be coming hard at you on the defensive end, and that's difficult to deal with. Let me, before I let you go, just a quick question: if there's been any reaction from any of the people on the Grizzlies organization about the firing of Scott Brooks?
I haven't heard anything just yet. At morning shoot-around today, that news hadn't come out.
Okay.
But I had heard some rumblings. There are people that were, you know, obviously this is a community of NBA guys, whether you're in Utah or Memphis or Portland. You travel with a team, everybody knows everybody.
Yep.
And so I know their lead assistant coach, Rex Kalamian, is close with a couple guys I know. And Rex had said he felt like if they didn't make the playoffs, there was a chance they could get let go, which I thought was crazy. Because you're talking about a former coach of the year, a guy that won multiple division titles, took his team to the NBA Finals, and he lost the MVP and arguably their third option for extended amounts of time. Even Russell Westbrook missed the beginning part of the year. When they were playing without Durant and Westbrook, they're a lottery team. I mean, there's just no two ways about it.
No question.
And you can't, in the West, and look at how well Utah played. It's a perfect example.
Yep.
They played so well in the second half of the season, but they were in such a hole because of the early part of the season, figuring out Quinn Snyder's new system, and that's not their fault.
Right.
They're a young team. They were learning how to win. Well, they learned how to win, and in the East, they're a playoff team at that point.
Yeah.
In the West, if you don't win 47, 48 games, you're going home early.
Yep.
And so I thought that was a little unjust, but obviously Sam Presti has the way he wants things done.
Yep.
I think he wants more of a flow to the offense the way the Spurs and the Hawks, who
Mike
Budenholzer was under Greg Popovich, run things, and maybe even Golden State with Steve Kerr, because he you know, played under Pop. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a Spur coach or even one from their assistant coaching ranks get that job and try to work where they're going to move the ball around the perimeter more and isolate less and try to play more as a team, even though those two guys are two of the best one-on-one players in the league. So I'm shocked, but nothing in this business shocks me anymore, guys. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, I know. And that's the other side of Russell Westbrook is you know, bottom line is, you know, maybe controlling him was what the ownership and the leadership wanted, and that didn't happen. So Scott Brooks is on the street. Hey, Eric, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate you taking the time to join us here on NBAWire.com, Fast Break on ESPN 700. Enjoy the rest of the series. I have a feeling you'll be calling games at least into the second round.
Certainly hope so. I appreciate you guys for having me. It should be a good one tonight. I expect the Blazers to bounce back, but I think the Grizz will be ready.